The following message is a third in a series of six messages entitled, The Weapons of Our Warfare. For additional copies of this message, write John Osteen Ministries, Post Office Box 23117, Houston, Texas, 77228.
You know, when you got the Word of God in you, you can withstand every assault of the devil, every disappointment in life. If you've got the Word of God in you, you can go through all questionable areas. Are you out there? I mean, the Word of God will hold you when there's a great big question mark on every side of you and you just don't know about a lot of things. The Word of God will hold you. Praise God. All right, we've been teaching on the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Turn in your Bible also to the book of Acts chapter 2, chapter 3. Now bring your Bibles. How many of you have a Bible? Hold them up. Let me see. All right, that's good. If you don't have a Bible, look over with somebody, but get your own Bible and bring it. We have, if you'll read the next issue of our paper, we have a Bible Institute church. I mean, really, there's not any reason, unless God just calls you, for you to go off to Christ for the Nations or Rhema. I know Brother Hagin would be glad to hear that this morning. But if you'll get in here and learn what we are teaching Sunday morning at 9:45 and Sunday night at 6 o'clock and then Sunday morning when I teach, Sunday night when I teach, and Wednesday night, there's 5 hours of intense Bible, varied Bible study. Then we have tapes of all the major teachers in our loaning library back here and books that you can check out and sit under their ministry during the week. I'll tell you, friends, you don't have to go all over the world. You got a Bible Institute right here. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go, but they can't take any more students up there anyway. I just use that as an illustration. You just have to get out of here to realize what you got. Amen. Isn't that right, Paul? I mean, you just don't find it everywhere. We try to teach you the Word of God. You can only digest so much. So we try to give you enough to digest. And then the advantage of doing it this way is that you can go and put it in practical service, like to the jails and to the rest homes and to the mission fields. Besides that, there's no tuition. Just 3 or 4 offerings of service. But I want you to appreciate the fact that, and I go slow. You just say, well, you'd preach the same thing last week. Well, that's all right. You'll get it by the time I do it 3 or 4 times. I'm talking to you out of the Amplified. You might as well bring it for the next few times, and let's study out of that. I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare. Actually, our text, you don't need to turn to it. We turned to it so many times, but you might write it down. There are 2 or 3 things I want you to write down this morning. I see some of you have a pad and pencil, but I do want you to write it down. Just 3 or 4 things that we've been emphasizing. And the major text is found in 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not what? But mighty through to the pulling down of? Oh, thank God. Thank God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Could you say amen? Amen. Now, I'm talking about the weapons of our warfare, and the weapons of our warfare, among other weapons, are the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Say, the weapons of my warfare are the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll tell you, friends, life is a battle. I mean, life is a battle, struggle. There are satanic forces that we have to battle every day of our lives, but we are on the winning side. I don't care how it looks, we're on the winning side. We have made a fatal mistake if we try to fight spirit forces with carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare, Brother Billy and Brother Steve, you're going to be good soldiers of the cross and two of my favorite friends. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God. Supernaturally endowed is what God wants you to be. And those gifts are listed there in 1 Corinthians, and there's no need for me just to read them all to you again, you see. Let me just name them to you. You can check them later. There are three revelation gifts: the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, and the gift of discerning of spirits. And then there are three speaking gifts: the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Those are weapons. And then there are what we call the power gifts, which are the gift of the working of miracles, the gift of wonder-working faith, and the gifts of healings. Now, I'm telling you, there's a desire in my heart personally to get into a new dimension that God can use my body as a channel through which these supernatural works can come forth. But I want you to realize that they're for everybody. Everybody. I don't care where you are. Billy, when you're working down that second job down at that filling station, God can move by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to be in church. God can work in your life. And we have grown up with the idea that you got to be in church for God to work supernaturally. Totally foreign to the Bible. Read the book of Acts. Most everything they did was outside the church. But we're guilty sometimes of not living in the Spirit and just relegating our spiritual thoughts as when we come to church. We ought to be so full of God when we leave that He can speak to us and direct us throughout all the day by these supernatural gifts. And they are powerful weapons that Satan cannot counteract nor defeat. God can do more in 5 seconds. Now, you take myself, I didn't plan to say this, but I was deep in the dark hole of religious tradition, bound by denominational chains. I mean, I couldn't believe about the baptism. I was trained against it. You say, well, you could have. Well, no, I couldn't. I mean, you can't go to college and seminary, preach 19 years against something, and train your mind, and automatically just snap your hand and change. Oh, you can't do that. I was bound by a million chains in my spirit, in the dark hole of denominational tradition, and just denying all of this, blinded by tradition, bound by sectarianism, and grinding at the mill of my denomination. No way. I couldn't get out. Somewhere I knew there was light. Somewhere I knew there was a better way. Somewhere I knew that I was made for more than just a grind at the mill of a denomination. Somewhere I knew there was victory. Somewhere I knew there was more. Like a bird in a cage, feeling the impulse to fly, but caged up. I felt it in my spirit. I felt it in my inside of my very soul. I felt I was made to get in the free air of God's supernatural power. But everything I had been trained in told me it wasn't so. But you see, God's got weapons. God's got weapons. You say, how did you get out? Well, one of the most dramatic things that happened to me, and I think one of the most effective things that happened to me was this, was when an Assembly of God preacher ate lunch with me and told me this experience. He pastored in the same town in Baytown where I pastored the Central Baptist Church. He pastored in the Assembly of God Church. And we were friends. And he said, Brother Osteen, he said, a wonderful thing happened in our church service. Now, you understand, I didn't believe any of this. He said, a child about, I forget how old, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, said, got under the power of the Holy Ghost. I didn't believe that. He's telling it to me. I didn't believe that, Dan. I didn't more believe it than I believed I'm on the moon. I just didn't believe it. I just listened out of courtesy. He said she began to speak in other tongues. I thought, really? And I don't want you to laugh at this. I thought she was mentally off and would soon be in a mental institution because they'd got her so deranged and so excited, you know, that she'd be off a rocker, you know, round the bend, as they say in South Africa, just gone. And so, but I listened to him. He said she began to speak in tongues. I went on eating, you know. And then he said, our missionary from Africa, Brother McCorkle, who's in Ghana, rose to his feet. He happened to be there that day and said, friends, this child is speaking in the language of the tribe I minister to in Africa, and she is praising the name of Jesus in that tribal language. That was the first time I had ever come up against the actual report of a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that something happened on the inside of me that broke chains by the tens of thousands. And in one moment's time, I was a believer. I believed it instantaneously. It loosed me from denominational change that no argument, Vic, could ever have convinced me nor loosed me by. But you see, these are supernatural gifts. That child and that missionary and that preacher will have a part in all that I have ever done or ever will do in the Holy Ghost. But the supernatural weapons are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Friends, I tell you, we're filled with power. We may not realize it, but brother, we're filled with supernatural gifts that will help us fight an effective battle, fight of faith. Are you out there? Yes. Well, now I want to show you something now. What I want you to write down is this. Now, it says in the Amplified, now about spiritual gifts. Then the Amplified amplifies on what the Holy Ghost really meant. It says, the special endowments of supernatural energy. I want you to write that down, that there is available special endowments of supernatural energy. How many of you need energy once in a while? Well, I want you to know there's no energy crisis with God. Energy shortage, it might be a crisis to get it in us and out of us, but special endowments of supernatural energy. Now that's the first thing. There's available. That can come instantaneously through you. Supernatural energy to do supernatural things. Not of yourself, not of your ability at all, but just through you if you're an available channel. It's the first thing. Write that down because we're going to be talking about these things in the days ahead. Now, the second thing is that in verse 4, it says, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of these endowments. And the amplification of that is extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. Write that phrase down. Extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. In other words, every one of us are so blessed of God that He has distinguished us specifically with special, extraordinary powers that will distinguish us from others. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Now, I haven't gotten into this like I want to get into it, Monty. I mean, there's something pulling me. There's something telling me. I'll tell you, I'm not what I ought to be in this area. And I'm going to touch God. He's going to touch me. And we need the flow of supernatural energy and divine action on the part of God. We need it. We need God on the scene. Oh, a few times in my life I've had the thrill of watching this manifestation of supernatural energy just do miraculous things instantaneously. I tell you, I've seen too few of those, but I have seen it enough to whet my appetite. I mean, in the book of Acts, I mean, we may speak in tongues like they did. We may prophesy a little bit like they did, but we're not near restored to what they did in that book of Acts. But I tell you, friends, we are going to be. I declare we're going to have the same kind of operations out in the streets, in the valleys, in the mountains, and in the marketplaces until our generation will be stirred by the Holy Ghost. But there's got to be a longing in our heart for these things. There's got to be a sense of that, the fact that we haven't arrived yet. All right? How many of you would like to be distinguished by these extraordinary powers of God? How many of you would like to have the extraordinary power of God distinguishing you? Oh, think about the gifts of healings. I mean, we know the word works all the time. We know that. We know that's our standby. We've majored on that. But just think about being a channel through a special channel. I mean, to be distinguished in that area, to where God uses you in the actual gifts of healings. Did any of you see that man on either PTL or 700 Club? Just an ordinary, I think a businessman that God had endowed with the gifts of healings. And he was telling about how he would lay his hands on people and they would be, the gifts of healings would just flow through him and they would be healed instantaneously. And he'd just weep. He'd just weep. He'd just weep. I remember Brother Branham, Brother Jack Moore told me how Brother Branham, he said, Brother O.C., he said he got down. He said, I spent time with him. And he said, get out on the floor in front of him at my feet just like a little child. Brother Branham was one of the great prophets of our day. And, and he said, he just sit at my feet and tell me. He said about the miracles Jesus performed through him. And he said he'd weep like a baby. He said he'd just weep. He said he couldn't contain himself. Friends, it is a real thrill and joy for God to use us by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I long for the gifts of healing. I mean for God's Holy Ghost to come pouring through my hands and my body to reach out to suffering humanity, dying humanity, and work miracles of God. Now, remember Sister McWhorter over here, we've told about it. She's been here several times. She had so suffered so much. She could lift her hands more than higher than this for 9 years. Knots all over her body. Had to crawl for 2 or 3 years from rheumatoid arthritis, totally incurable, and dying of lupus, a blood disease. And yet, when I laid my hands on her and felt nothing, the Holy Ghost manifested the gifts of healings. And she said, I felt electricity come from the top of my head, out my toes, and instantaneously the Holy Ghost healed her. Every knot disappeared. Her hands went up, and she was healed by doctor's diagnosis of lupus disease and is going everywhere telling of what Jesus has done for her. Think about, Gary, if we could be endowed, if we could so present ourselves to God that men and women would circulate throughout the city of Houston and let God's power flow and distinguish us with extraordinary supernatural power. Not just the ministry. I tell you that about Sister McWhorter to tell you that's one of the few instances that I've seen. Now, the other thing that I want you to write down in this is verse 7. But to each one, everybody say each one.
Each one.
Say it out loud.
Each one.
Say it again.
Each one.
Now, you see, you got to realize, you got to get your thinking straightened out because we've been trained in denominations to think that the preachers do it all. All of your preachers. All of you are preachers. You may not be in the fivefold ministry, but you are preachers to each one. Say each one again.
Each one.
Say, I'm not left out.
I'm not left out.
God wants to use me.
God wants to use me.
Each one,
each one has
special gifts.
I have special gifts.
The Holy Ghost wants to manifest in me. All right, now let's look at it. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Not a one of you left out. I don't care how dumb you think you are. I don't care whether you can read or write, and some of you may not be able to. I'll tell you, God specializes in taking nothings. I mean dumb people. I mean ignorant people. I mean just the most unlikely people in the world. And he takes delight in manifesting his power through them. And I tell you, that's where I qualify. You see me up here, you know, dressed up and pastor of a church and all, but you don't know what God picked up. You don't know the biggest zero God ever got. I'm telling you, I drop out of high school. I'm not magnifying that, but I want you to know when God picked me up, he fulfilled that scripture. He chose the foolish things. And I know you can laugh at that, but that's so. I'm telling you the truth. Our family was a poor family. That's not a disgrace, but I mean we were the family that got the free Thanksgiving basket, you know. I mean we went to school with holes in our shoes and in our clothes. I mean we were poor. We had a good home, but I'm talking about, you know, we were just on that level. I mean we just didn't have too much. And I mean to tell you, I dropped out of high school. And I mean, I was just the most unlikely thing in the world, running around, nightclubbing and dancing and gambling and doing a lot of other things, you know, just a little shabby-looking teenager with his pants about up over his ankles because I'd outgrown them. Now, who would ever think that God would reach down in a picture show where I was working and get somebody that dropped out of high school, the least likely one in the whole bunch to ever do anything, a worldling, and just choose to give him to the body of Christ? Oh, I tell you, I can't thank him enough. I'm so honored. So honored. It'd be enough just to be a Christian. But to be honored, to be called to the ministry. But you see, God can take nobodies, nothings. And if they're hungry enough, he'll use them. You see, I went back to school. And I finished, but I took my Bible, Alfred, every time. I went to school, I took my Bible. I went to the blackboard. I wrote scriptures on the blackboard. And I witnessed to everybody. And I finished high school. And then I finagled some way to get accepted in a college without any money down. I went on without any money. Didn't know anything about believing God. And I hitchhiked. I think I had either $17 or $21 and hitchhiked to college. And went through college, summer and all, worked all the way through, you see. But I read my Bible. When I come home from high school, first thing I do is go in the closet. I don't say this. I didn't even have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But I'd just rush in, and I'd get me a closet. Nobody was home. Everybody was working. And I'd set an hour to pray. 18 years old. Set an hour to pray. I loved my Bible so much, I slept with it. I kissed it. I hugged it. I loved it. I was so honored to be saved. I don't remember when God called me to preach. I just got saved wanting to preach. 6 weeks after I was saved, I was preaching three times a week. And I just kept on, you see. But what I'm saying is God can take nothing and use it. How you say, well, I'm not that way. Well, if you realize without God you really are nothing, then God can still use you. Are you out there?
Amen.
Let's tell Jesus we love him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Master. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that verse 7. To each one, I want you to know that you must begin to seek God. Each one of you is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, watch what it says. That is, now here's what the manifestation is. It is the evidence and the spiritual illumination. You say, well, how will I know when the Spirit of God manifests himself? Well, he'll give you the evidence by spiritual illumination. I mean, friends, that can come on us suddenly without even being in prayer, without fasting, just suddenly by a sovereign act of God, if we are available to be used of him, a spiritual illumination. Elevation of our spirit and a manifestation. A manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. If you have never felt spiritual illumination, you have not lived. A filling up, an illumination. And I'll get into this later when I can tell you about the times that I've been illuminated with the gift of faith, once or twice, three or four times. Just a spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination about something else that could come. But to each one of us, you see, each one of us is given. God has set apart that you can have these supernatural gifts to fight the battles of life and the good fight of faith and pull down strongholds. You don't have to resort to your reason. God can work through you. All right. Each one is given the spiritual illumination for good and profit. If you find that somebody's supposed to be moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tearing people down, pronouncing doom on them, just mark them all, pray for them, put them in a cage, lock them up till they learn better. All right, then it lists those gifts. Then I want you to skip down in verse 11. Write this down. Wait till I read it to you, now I'll tell you what to write. All these, now that's talking about all nine gifts, all these, that's talking about wonder-working faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings, all these, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, all these, the Amplified says, all these achievements and abilities. Achievements and abilities. All these achievements and abilities are brought about by the same Holy Spirit. In other words, you can forget your ability. I tell you, I've worked in the energy of the flesh so much in my ability, I'm sure it's made God sick to his stomach. It has nothing to do with your ability. All of these achievements, whatever is achieved, and whatever ability is manifested, is brought about by the Holy Ghost. And it's so easy. It's so easy. He does it all. He just does it all. He does it all. I mean, when I've seen the gift of healing, gifts of healings in operation is the easiest thing in the world. I didn't shout, carry on, sweat, do anything. I just put my hands on people and something miraculous went through me and miraculous things happened instantly. All these achievements and abilities are from the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? All right. Now, the next thing I want you to write down is the last part of that verse of Scripture. And that Holy Spirit apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. Well, you say, I want this and that. I do too. But I believe God inspires us to want these things, but we've just got to be the available channel, because sometime prophecy will do more good than some other gift. But just let the Holy Ghost choose how he wants to use you. But that is with a little reservation, because it says here in verse 31, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best and highest graces and gifts. In other words, you've got to earnestly desire and cultivate these, or none of them are going to operate in your life. And then chapter 14, verse 1, it says, eagerly pursue and seek this love. And then it says, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments. There must be something done on our part. We can't sit around like dodos on a perch and say, well, God said he'd give it to me. No, it said for you to earnestly desire. Oh, may God so wean us away from the world and our own desires until we earnestly desire and cultivate the idea of seeking God, that we might do something for our generation, that we might raise the dead, that we might bring miracles of healing, that we might bring edification to the body of Christ, that we may rise as a body of believers so filled and energized that it will literally startle a city. God will use the most unlikely people. But you've got to cultivate and earnestly desire these things. Well, now in the days to come, I'm going to take a totally different approach on the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm going to show you some things in the Bible. It's not going to be a regular thing about the gifts of the Spirit, but I want you to stay with us in the days to come, because it's going to help you to see how to be scriptural. We have to fight with the weapons of our warfare, and that's through the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, the last thing I want you to write down is that verse 31, we must earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the gifts. See? You know, if you'd asked me a month ago, how often do you really pray earnestly and longingly for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I'd say, oh, I don't know. It's been a year or two since I've really, really got in earnest about it. But you see, God's quickened this to me, that I haven't been obeying the Scripture. The Bible said, be doers of the Scripture. Be doers of the Word. But he's talking here to a church, not a preacher. He's talking to the Corinthians. He's talking to the whole church. How many of you know that we haven't arrived in this church? Friends, we haven't even begun to arrive. And I'll tell you this, we'll never be scriptural until we get out of the carnal and into what we're talking about here, and begin to yearn for and long for and to cultivate and to wait upon God until we begin to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God through the gifts in our lives. Not necessarily in the church all the time, though they'll be there, but outside. In love, in tenderness, and in good, sound, sensible cooperation with the Holy Ghost. Well, is that a good Bible lesson?
Amen.
Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Just tell him you receive the message and that you will obey the Scripture. Thank you, Jesus. 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 How many of you put down your hands down? Let's wait before the Lord just a minute. How many of you know you're right with God? Say amen.
Amen.
Now close your eyes and pray. How many of you say, I'm not right with the Lord? I'm not living for him. I know it. God knows it. I'm not ready to live or die. I need prayer. You men on the front, help me look. Lift up your hand, would you? I'm not right with God. All right, there's one over here. Thank you. There's another. There's another. I'm really not right with God. I know it. I'm not right with the Lord. All right, you people stand, would you? Just stand up where you are. Stand up. Just stand up back here. You two people back here in the back, this one here and this one here. Stand up over here. Two people lifted their hand. Just stand where you are. Now, I'm not talking about joining this church or anything. Look at me, would you people out there? You wouldn't be here today if God wasn't dealing with your heart. You have a desire to let him take that burden and forgive you and receive eternal life and come back to him if you've served him, or you wouldn't even be here. As a sign that you just open your heart to Jesus and give him your heart, come down here and take my hand so I can pray for you down here. Come on. Come on. That's it. Come on, young man. And when you take my hand, say, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank God. Say it out loud. I receive Jesus. All right. Put your hand there. Praise God. You're going to live for him, aren't you?
That's my problem. I keep falling back downhill.
Keeps falling back downhill. Well, I tell you, God can break the power of every habit, every dopa, all things that got hang up to it. I tell you, God's able. He's all powerful. Thank God. Say, I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Stay here. Stay right here. Say it.
I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
And he takes you. I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He takes you. He takes you. Father, bless him with the knowledge of your word. As the word is open unto them, Lord, give them assurance of salvation. Thank you, Father. Turn to that person behind you. Say, I confess I belong to Jesus. Turn around. All right, now I want you to go this way. Go this way. Turn around, go this way. Now, I think if there's one person here that's been delivered especially from drugs and you'd like to go in and help him with that young man in the front, stay with him maybe. Go on, Walt, and stay with him. I'll tell you. She's coming to accept Jesus. Praise God. You receive Christ into your heart? Does she receive Christ into her heart? She said, that's what I come for, to be saved.
Thank you, Father.
Thank God.
The doctor's been operated 4 times and I don't get it well. Thank you, doctor.
She said the doctor's operated on her 4 times and she can't get well, but she wants to give her heart to Jesus. Well, Jesus is going to make her well. Amen. Yes. Praise God.
Do I have a cancer, anything, kind of sickness? Okay. I will run to Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to take the knife and you cut him up me.
But you got Jesus in your heart. What she's saying, no matter what happens, I know I've got Jesus now this morning. I'm taking him. Praise God. How old is she?
I have a lot of problems.
Ask her how old she is. She's 76, but she's coming to truly accept Jesus. Now, I want you all to take her in there and tell her the difference in believing with her head and being religious and receiving in her heart. Take her right on in there. Give the Lord a hand clap while they take her in there. Mm-hmm.